Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this sermon today. We're going to be beginning our series on the book of Philippians, and so beginning with Philippians chapter 1 today. I've often heard the book of Philippians being described as a letter of joy, and I would agree with that. It's clear from the very first paragraphs of the text that Paul has a deep concern and a genuine affection for the people that he's writing to. And it's also clear from the text that the Philippians themselves return that affection and have endeavoured to support for Paul and to provide for him in his mission of spreading the good news about Jesus. And one of the main reasons why Paul is actually writing this letter to the church at Philippi in the first place is to thank them for the gift of support that they've given him, probably money, and then secondly, to encourage them as they themselves continue to live for Christ in Philippi. We also find in this letter that Paul is concerned about the persecution of Christians, but the way that he responds to that problem is by urging the believers at Philippi to remain united, to contribute to the harmony in their city, and to beware of false Christian teachers who would challenge the freedom that they have in Christ by the things that they were teaching. So as we continue into this first sermon, I'll be breaking it down into 3 points, and they are point one, thanksgiving, point two, trials, and point three, tenacity. So we have thanksgiving, trials, and tenacity. So point one then, thanksgiving. Paul shows a reverence for Jesus in the beginning of this letter, in the first few verses, where he describes both himself and Timothy as being servants of Jesus. And to be a servant of someone important in those days, and to write that at the beginning of your letter, was to show that you have a privileged position of being a servant of that person. And to be a servant of Christ is to be the most privileged servant of them all. And so it's no small thing for Paul and Timothy to describe themselves as being Jesus's servants. It's an unparalleled privilege that they're in that position, and it also ensures that the ears of the Philippians are pricked up right from the very beginning of the letter. And so we see as the letter continues that Paul goes on to treat the believers at Philippi with honour as well, because he refers to them as being God's holy people in Christ Jesus. And God's holy people is one way that the people of God are described in the Old Testament. And now these believers in Philippi, Gentile believers, can also be described as God's holy people in Christ. And when he's talking about the holy people in Christ, he's not just talking about the overseers and the deacons who are mentioned at the beginning of this letter. He also mentions at the beginning in the greeting section all the believers at Philippi. And so everyone in the church at Philippi is part of God's holy people. So right from the start, Paul speaks to the Philippians as God's holy people, and he talks about holding them before God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that Paul refers to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ both in that section of the letter shows the kind of position that Paul himself sees Jesus Christ in. It shows Paul's belief really in the deity of Christ and his importance, that he sits at the right hand side of the Father in heaven. And what he hopes is that as he holds the Philippians before God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may give the Philippians grace and peace that comes from the very heart of God. And holding the Philippians before the Lord is something which Paul shows from this letter that he is constantly doing. He says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. And not only this, but when Paul is praying and when he is holding them before the Lord, he is also praying with joy. So why might Paul be praying with joy as he remembers the Philippians? Well, really, it's because of the way that the Philippians have always partnered with Paul by helping him to share the good news about Jesus right from the day when they first met him all the way up until the time that Paul is writing this letter of thanks to them. And this isn't the only reason why Paul is joyful in his prayers, because alongside the partnership that the Philippians give to Paul in the gospel. Paul is also expressing the confidence that he has that the good work which God has begun in the Philippians in that ministry is going to be carried on by God until the day when Jesus returns. And so Paul's affection shows again in this letter in verses 7 and 8, which is where he makes mention of the fact that he is holding the Philippians in his heart. And he holds them in that important place in his heart, both at this time when he's in prison and also when he's free to defend and to share the gospel on his travels. In this letter, Paul is really showing that it doesn't matter whether he's in chains, in prison, or whether he's free, because in both of those situations, he can share with the Philippians in the grace of God together. Knowing the grace of God and sharing in it with the Philippians is not stopped by him being in prison. So all of these things go back to this theme of thankfulness, that Paul is incredibly thankful for the Philippians. And through them, God has given him a group of fellow believers who support him practically, financially, and who share in God's grace with him and who hold him in their hearts just as he holds them in his. Being in prison, Paul is unable to see the Philippians in person, but he can pray for them. And that's what he does in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1. You see, Paul is a teacher, and you can tell from his prayer that he has a huge desire for them as his students to grow. Interestingly enough, he mentions in this prayer that he wants their love to grow even greater. And the way he wants this to happen is that their love will grow in knowledge and insight. And Paul goes on to state why he wants their love to grow in this way. Because as the Philippians continue to grow in love, in knowledge, in insight, they will be able to discern more and more what is best, what is pure, and what is blameless, which will prepare their hearts for the day when they meet Jesus face to face. One of the things that you come across in Paul's ministry is that he does focus fairly often on the point where Jesus will return and the fruits of his ministry and the fruits of the ministry of other Christians will be held before Christ. And on that day, he wants that ministry to be a sweet-smelling offering, a fruitful offering before Jesus, and to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So as they grow in their knowledge and insight, they will grow in their knowledge of what God is like and the way that he desires them as his followers to live their lives, so that by growing in that way, they will come to love God more, and they will also come to love one another more as well. So this is why Paul has got that heart of thanksgiving for the Philippians. So point two then, trials. So we're thinking here specifically about the kinds of trials that Paul himself is facing at the time when he wrote the letter to the Philippians. One thing which really shows during this part of the letter is the way that the Holy Spirit is clearly working in Paul's heart and keeping him positive and allowing him to think logically about the situation that he is in, being in prison. See, Paul shows that even though he's in chains, even though he's awaiting to find out what his final fate is going to be, his imprisonment is strangely actually helping to advance the gospel. So why might that be, we might ask? Well, I'm sure that you've heard it said in the past, all publicity is good publicity, and that even bad attention at least causes people to become aware of something. See, Paul's bravery in going into prison for his faith has caused his friends on the outside to actually preach Christ even more boldly than they were before. Because as they see Paul going into prison for his faith, they're thinking, well, wow, what has happened in Paul's life must be so significant that he would actually go into the embarrassment of being in prison because of his belief in Jesus. So this gives the Philippians even more of a sense that what Paul has been teaching them truly is real. And that is helping to advance the gospel. at the same time, Paul's enemies are also preaching Christ out of bad motives. They want to stir up trouble from Paul. They want people to think, oh, look at all these Christians preaching Jesus. Aren't they causing a lot of trouble and disharmony around town? And connect that preaching of Paul's enemies back to Paul himself. But actually, Paul sees this in a very different light from perhaps how his enemies want him to see it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 18 says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. So Paul is actually kind of throwing his hands up at this point and saying, hey, not all of these preachers have got my own personal interests at heart, but people are hearing about Jesus, and that is what is most important. It's more important than what happens to me here in prison. And so I rejoice that people are hearing about Jesus. See, God is clearly providing encouragement to Paul in prison by his Holy Spirit. God is enabling Paul to see a difficult situation in a better light. And Paul writes that it's because of God's presence and the prayers of the Philippians that he has great confidence that things are going to turn out well for him in prison. Paul kind of weighs up in front of the Philippians in this book the tussle that he has in his mind of whether it is better to die and to be with Christ or to continue in the ministry that he has. And he decides in his mind what is the more likely scenario by thinking about what is more necessary. And Paul decides that it is more necessary that he remains in order to help the Philippians to continue to grow than for him to depart and to be with Christ at this time. He says to them, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Philippians 1, 25 to 26. See, Paul believes that he is going to be delivered from this present situation that he's in prison, and that he'll be able to go to the Philippians again to encourage them and help them to progress in their joy and faith. And he says that if that was to happen, that it would be all the more reason for the Philippians to boast about Jesus, because they'd be able to say, look, Paul, our friend, was in prison. Most likely he was in prison at Rome when he wrote this letter. So he's in the centre of the Roman Empire, in prison because of his faith in Jesus. But look, everyone, Jesus has brought Paul back to us out of that desperate situation. And so they can boast in Jesus's goodness in that situation. What do Paul's trials teach us? The first thing is that good things can come out of bad situations. So in this passage, Paul is a living example of someone who continues to trust Jesus even when things have turned nasty. And he continues to show faith in Christ and to talk about him and to spread the message even when his enemies are trying to stir up trouble for him. And he finds that even when he's in prison, the message continues to spread further and that his enemies end up helping him to do that. Paul is also holding on to his future hope while he's in prison of being with Christ after his death. That even if he dies, he knows where he's going to be going. And that puts his life in context for now. Yes, at this point, his life is involving suffering. But it's not a life that doesn't involve joy at the same time. So let's look at point three, tenacity. So I'm going to talk about the tenacity which was required from the Christians at Philippi if they were to walk with faith in the presence of the trials that were before them. Paul is clear from the final four verses of chapter 1 that the Philippians have got people who oppose them, and that it would be natural for the Philippians to be afraid of those people who are standing in their way. But Paul encourages the believers at Philippi by explaining that whatever happens, in verse 27, whatever happens, they are to conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. So what might that look like in Paul's view? Well, he follows that instruction shortly after by stating that whether or not he can actually come to them by his being let out of prison, he will know that the Philippians are doing the following things. He will know that firstly, they are standing firm in the one spirit. Secondly, that the way to ensure that they are actually standing firm in the one spirit is that they continue to strive together for the faith of the gospel. So, you know, we might be good at standing firm, but are we good at standing firm in the one spirit? It's not about standing firm in what we think is right from our own point of view. It's about standing firm together in the one spirit with our fellow believers in Christ and being assured of that. When we stand firm in the one spirit, that's when we can strive together for the faith of the gospel. And thirdly, Paul will know that they're not allowing the fear of the people that oppose them to stop them from standing firm in the one spirit. So Paul shows in this passage that if the Philippians continue to live and to act in that unified, in that persistent and in that courageous way, and don't let the fear of other human beings stop them from doing that, then it will become clear that their enemies are on a road to nowhere, but that they, the Philippians, are going to be saved by God. Why will they be saved by God? Because they continue to faithfully contend for him by preaching the gospel, by living it out no matter what, by holding on to the truth of God's word and what he's done for them in Jesus, no matter what. See, Paul finishes off this chapter by reminding the Philippians of something which we may often shy away from as Christians, because it doesn't sound very much like good news, even though it is possible to view it as good news, because in verse 29, he reminds them that they've not only been granted on behalf of Christ that they should believe in him, but also that they should suffer for him. It's not just about for us as Christians saying, I believe in Jesus. It's about saying, I believe in Jesus even when ... insert hardship or challenge here. See, the Philippians are going to need tenacity if they are to conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, whatever happens. So how can we apply these things to our lives today? Thanksgiving. Who are the people in your life that are like the Philippians? Who are the people in your life that have journeyed with you, who've supported you, who've stood by you and with you through thick and thin? Who do you rejoice over today? Why not write the names of those people down and then bring each one before the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless them? Perhaps why not ring them up or write a letter to them at some point this week, showing them that you appreciate them and that you're willing to stand with them too. Then there's the trials. Paul shows in this passage that it's possible for good things to come out of bad situations. And depending on your own particular situation, your own particular trials at this moment, you might find it fairly straightforward or fairly hard to find a silver lining in whatever cloud you might be going through at the moment. And that when we suffer, however, it's important for us to remember that suffering can bring us closer to Jesus, because Jesus understands what it's like to suffer. And being drawn closer to Jesus, it is a good thing, because when we draw close to him, we remember that we're running this race by the power of his Spirit, and will receive the crown of life for him in the end. Tenacity. In times of difficulty, Paul's letter to the Philippians encourages us to stand firm and that we believe in Jesus even when ... And perhaps this is the hardest challenge from this passage today. But we don't try and stand alone. We stand by the power of the Holy Spirit as we strive together with one another in fellowship as believers, to say we believe in Jesus together as one body, even when ... There are always going to be things which will make us afraid of living for Christ. But through the Spirit, through the fellowship that he brings, we, like Paul, can know joy in difficult times. Let's pray together. Father God, I just want to thank you for this passage today. I thank you for the way that it encourages us in difficult times. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us to take hold of those attitudes that Paul had this morning, that we would be thankful for one another, thankful for our Christian brothers and sisters. Lord, that we would hold close to you in times of trial, and that you would give us the tenacity to persevere through the power of your Holy Spirit and through joining in fellowship with other Christians. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.